Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
We're in a series called Here's the Scoop. And the title of this message is How to Take Up Your Cross. Come on, we've heard taking up your cross. If you've been in church for a long time, we've all heard this, take up your cross and follow me. But we're going to learn a little bit of how, the practical ways of doing that today. A little boy was saying at bedtime, he prayed, said, Lord, would you make me a better boy? Then he stopped and said, actually, don't make me any better. Just make me easier to deal with. Come on. The truth is, many of us have this approach with God. We want God to adjust the people around us while Jesus or the Holy Spirit is pointing back to us and saying this in Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. One of the most challenging statements Jesus ever made was not about comfort. It was not about success. It wasn't about ease, or it was not about prosperity. It was about a cross. We see the symbol as a cross as a religious symbol. Somebody wear it around their neck, and other people have it dangling from their car mirror, and even bumper stickers and the almighty tattoo of a cross. But when Jesus spoke these words, the people of that time saw it much differently than when we do it today. The cross in those times was brutal. It was a brutal execution. It was a symbol of pain. It was a symbol of suffering. It was a symbol of shame. It was also a symbol of death. But Jesus nonetheless says this, take up your cross daily. And here's what he says. You notice he doesn't say take it up occasionally. Come on. We all like our spiritual high. We like the mountaintop experiences. We love it when the prayers are answered. We love it when Sunday morning makes us feel good. Come on, y'all. But what happens on 6 a.m. on Monday morning? Wow. That's when the cross carrying gets really, really hard, right? It becomes real about that time. When your feet hit the floor, two voices are speaking to you. One says, live for yourself today. The other one, the same one says, do what feels good, do what's easy, and do what's comfortable. While the other voice says this, follow Jesus today. I want you to trust him. I want you to honor him. And I want you to obey him. Taking up your cross is deciding which voice you're going to wake up and listen to on Monday morning. The Christian life is not a one-time decision. It's not a one and done like college basketball. You know what I'm talking about. It's a daily decision to surrender our lives to Jesus. Taking up your cross means giving up yourself. And Jesus begins this. He says, let him deny himself. The problem with self is this. He keeps showing up every morning, everywhere I go, staring me in the face. I cannot get away from him. No matter how hard I try, I can never escape him. And many of us don't understand what self-denial and denying yourself is. It's not beating yourself up. Right. It's not hating yourself. Jesus is saying we have to stop making ourselves the center of our lives. Come on, y'all. This is getting rough. The greatest battle, I told myself to slow down here because I have, instead of my wife doing this, I told myself. The greatest battle most Christians fight is not against the devil. It's not against him. He gets blamed a lot. Remember Flip Milson, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. Says you were enticed and you did it on yourself because you wanted to please yourself. He gets the blame a lot when there's a lot of things that we do on our own, but he has nothing to do with because of our self-will. We go against ourselves in many ways because self wants its own way. It wants comfort. Self wants recognition and self wants control. Come on, you got any control freaks in the house? Get your hands up because we're going to pray for you later. I'm a little bit like that sometimes. But denying yourself means you have to surrender. Anybody been arrested in here? Praise the Lord. We got some brave people here. I wasn't going to tell you to raise your hands, but you know, the parole board is still looking for some of y'all anyway. But when you get arrested, they tell you to put your hands up in the air, right? Because you have to show a sign of surrender. Imagine your heart as a throne. Before you accepted Jesus, you sat on the throne. Every decision, every desire, every plan was yours. But when you accepted Jesus, you stepped down from the throne and you invited Jesus to sit on it. The problem with that is we want to keep a chair nearby the throne. And little by little, we scoot closer and closer and closer and closer to the throne. And before too long, we're telling Jesus, you know, maybe, just maybe, we can co-manage this with you. Or you know what else we do? We hand him a list of our approved decisions. God, you can do this, but it has to be done this way, or it has to be done that way. And if you don't do it my way, I'm going to sulk up and I'm going to be mad at you and I'm going to blame you for everything else because we get in trouble a lot. Stay down there, Rug. We get in trouble a lot and we blame God a lot, but there's a lot of times we go off the rail and we want to blame him. Jesus said, take up your cross daily. He was saying, choose God's will over your will every single day. And that is so hard. Listen, now, this ain't the preacher just preaching at you. I have to deny myself and take up my cross daily. I live with my wife. I'm just kidding. That's a joke. It means saying, this is your life, not my life. It's a daily surrender. That's why he said, take up your cross daily. Taking up your cross is choosing obedience over convenience. Do y'all think it was convenient for Jesus to go to the cross? Remember, in the garden, he said, I don't want to do this. He fought against his flesh. He fought against going to the cross. He said, I don't want to do this, but here's the deal. It's not my will, but it's your will. And whatever you say, I'm going to do. That is what God is looking for us to do, Dylan, in this world that we live in right now. Whatever you're saying to us, we need to go and act in obedience and just do what you tell us to do. So many times we try to think it away, we try to wish it away, we try to argue it away, and God is just saying, listen, if you'll just do the will that I have for you, this cross bearing that you think you're going through is going to be a lot easier than what you... Come on, that cross is heavy because of us. Oh, I'm preaching better than you're amening. The truth is this, obedience often costs something. Sometimes it'll cost your popularity. Sometimes it'll cost your comfort. Sometimes it'll cost your time, your finances, and it may even cost you some relationships. A soldier, Jack, does not join the military and decide, Bruce, which orders they're going to take. Can I get an amen on that for my guys that get in the Army? Cameron. You don't decide if you're going to listen to your superior officers. You just do it because it's part of your duty. Your duty is to be obedient to those that are ahead of you. We are called to follow Jesus even when obedience is difficult. Come on, obedience is rough. In fact, he never promised us a trouble-free life. Look at John 16:33. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. You can have peace when it starts to go down. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. When you give your life to Jesus, you will face opposition. The cross reminds us that sometimes suffering and pain can be a part of God's purpose. Come on. Most of us have heard about the refiner's fire, right? God's trials are compared to the intense heat that a silversmith puts in pursuit to get precious metals. Fire is not to destroy. The purpose of this is to burn away the impurities, listen to me, leaving behind something of perfect value. God, when you're going through something right now and it hurts and it burns and it stings, God is trying to get the impurities to raise to the top so he can get rid of that stuff out of your life. He's trying to get those all those hidden, deep, dark things that have been bugging you for years and you've been dealing with for years. He's trying to pull them to the top so he can make that precious. There's something precious in each and every one of y'all. Come on, down deep. You may not feel it right now, but there's something. He's mining for gold. Oh, he's mining for gold in you right now. And so many times you don't want him digging because you said, there's no gold in me. I'm telling you this morning, there's gold. That was free from the Holy Spirit. There's gold way down deep inside of you. God sometimes uses trials to refine us. 1 Peter 4:12. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going to go through as something strange were happening to you. What feels like punishment may be preparation. What feels like a setback may be a comeback, David. I saw this quote. I had to write this. I wrote this down yesterday. This is so good. When God wanted to raise Joseph to the palace, he didn't give him a shortcut, he gave him a prison. When God wanted to make David a king, he didn't give him a crown, he gave him a Goliath. When God wanted to make Esther a queen, he didn't give her comfort, he gave her a crisis. When God wanted to make Moses a leader, he didn't give him a stage, he gave him a wilderness. A lot of times when you feel like God is breaking you, he's actually building you. Oh, come on. God doesn't give us what we expect in life. He gives us what we need. Everything you need to fulfill the calling in your life is inside of you already. You just have to let God mine it out, dig it out, hurt it out, get it out, every way it needs to come out. Paul, he was in prison and in chains. Jesus doesn't save you from something, but for something. Yes. The smaller Paul's life got, the bigger his impact was. So look what he writes here. He writes in Romans 8:18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time," the things I'm currently in chains, in prison, come on. Some of us cry when we, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us." What does it mean to us today? We could face testing. We could face trials and suffering because of our faithfulness. You know, some of y'all are going through something because you gave your life to Jesus. Come on, when you give your life over to Christ, the devil gets a big bullseye right on. Now, we don't have to submit to the bullseye, but he puts it on your back and he's always throwing those fiery darts at you, trying to get you to fail. Sometimes you're doing better than you think. Being rejected, mocked for your faith and your beliefs. Maybe you're losing opportunities at work because you won't compromise your values. Your cross may be a difficult season. It may be health problems. Come on, some of us are going through some things right now in our health. Rejection because of our faith or a burden. Oh, this is the big one I wrote down. Or a burden you didn't choose. You're carrying a cross, and it wasn't your choice. You went through something when you were younger. The cross you're still bearing right now, it was not your fault, but nonetheless, you're still carrying it. God wants us to let those things go. He wants us to let our hearts be so pure unto him that we can start to let those things go. Some of y'all didn't deserve what happened to you. Come on, Holy Spirit, speak. You didn't deserve it. But nonetheless, you're still struggling with it. You're still going through it. Today, God wants to free you from that. I'm not just trying to get a good altar call, but I'm telling you, God wants to free you from what you are going through today. Taking up your cross doesn't mean enjoying it. It means being faithful in it and through it. Again, taking up your cross is a daily choice, and many of us are willing to make one dramatic sacrifice. But when the greater challenges come because of daily faithfulness, yes, we'll make a big hard sacrifice, but God is looking for the small things in our life each and every day. It's kind of like a dripping bucket of water, dripping faucet into a bucket, right? The bucket is not filled by one giant drop of water. It's filled by hundreds, even thousands of small drops over time. Our spiritual maturity and growth is not built on dramatic moments. It's built through practice and faithfulness, daily prayer, daily forgiveness, daily faithfulness, just the things that we do on a daily basis. That is how you build your life. Small acts that are repeated consistently, I wrote this down, become part of your life and please God. Being a Christian is carrying your cross in ordinary moments. Choosing to do the right thing when no one is looking. Praying and reading when you're tired. Trusting God when the answers don't come the way you want them to come or in the time fashion that you want them to come in. Taking up your cross is this one. It's forgiving when you have every right not to. It's forgiving when you have every right not to. Someone has hurt you. Your flesh says this, get even. But what does Jesus say? Forgive them 70 times 7. What? 70 times 7, I'm supposed to forgive them? That's what Jesus said. So many times we have no forgiveness over the first or second time, much less the 77th time. Choosing forgiveness when the wound is real. Come on, taking up your cross is obeying when it costs you something. Doing the right thing can be expensive. Maybe a coworker, maybe someone you know is doing the wrong thing and you know it at work. Maybe you're afraid to say anything because it could cost you some popularity, or it could cost you maybe your job. Come on, sometimes taking up the cross is a very, very hard thing to do. Taking up your cross, listen to me now, this is going to hit all of us. It's loving difficult people. You might be sitting next to that person right now. Just kidding. There are people around you that are criticizing you, that are putting you down. There's people around you that are just being hateful. Taking up your cross might be praying for them. The Bible says pray for those that despitefully use you. It doesn't say that just on a whim. It says that because there's healing in your prayers. It says speaking kindness to them, showing them the love of Jesus. Jesus loved people when they mocked him, when they spit on him, when they despised him. And anyone can love a lovable person. It says love your neighbor as yourself. I don't even like that dude. He don't even cut his grass in the same pattern that I do. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Those dandelions, they're from his yard. They keep coming over to my yard. Oh, Lord, I'm trying to be funny, but that's the truth. We get mad at the person next door because of their yard. The cross teaches us to love difficult people. And I'm going to ask you a question. Are there difficult people in your life that God's told you to take up your cross with? I want you to think about that one. Taking up your cross may be standing for Jesus when others and culture does not. We live in a culture that, I'm going to talk in a couple weeks about compromise. Biblical values are not popular with family, with work, with school, or even among friends. Being faithful may bring criticism and also get you excluded too. Carrying your cross is remaining faithful even when faithfulness is unpopular. Taking up your cross may mean serving when, oh, this is a good one, when nobody notices. We all like recognition. We all like applause. We all like someone to tell us, to pat us on the back, and we should get that from time to time. But a lot of the things that we do don't always have to be seen. Thank you, Jesus, today for nursery workers. Thank you, Jesus, for our people who are working with our kids back there that you don't see behind the lines when they're back there screaming and hollering. The kids are driving them crazy. Come on, y'all. Thank you. Caregivers. Thank you for people who go that extra mile. Thank you for the cleaning team that makes you have a clean church every Sunday. Come on, y'all don't know what they do every Saturday here. And if you want to know what they do here, we clean the church Saturdays at 8:30. We're taking up, Joni and Bill and Jason will take up donations right now. Donations of people, not money. There is a reward for carrying your cross. And Jesus never called us to carry our cross without a purpose. The cross is followed by resurrection and a new life. There is suffering, but there's also victory at the other side of it. There's a sacrifice, but there's also a reward. Jesus went to the cross because he knew what was ahead. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, the joy, despising the shame, and was sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. When we can look at the cross, we can look beyond it. The marathon runner endures pain. Any of y'all like to run in here? I'm going to pray for you if you do, because I hate to run. The marathon runner endures pain, right, Barry? Every mile hurts. Every step cost him something, but he continues. He knows this. There is a finish line. Here's the thing. You can't see the finish line when you run a marathon. You can't see it physically, but you can feel it in your heart. You know there's a finish line. He knows there's a reward coming at the end of this. You can't see it with your eyes, but you can feel it with your heart. Carrying our cross is nothing compared to what God has done for us. Nothing that what he's done for us, nothing he's given us could even compare to the things that we go through. When sometimes we need to look at our cross and say, this ain't nothing but a thing. This is just something I'm going through. We've gained a hope. We've gained a future. And listen, it's not YOLO. Is that even cool to say anymore? It's not you only live once. It's something, somebody said, oh, what's that mean? There is something beyond this life. There's a reward for carrying your cross. There's a reward for being faithful. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, it is written, I has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. So remember, there's resurrection comes after crucifixion. A.W. Tozer, I wrote this down. This one was so good. 20th century pastor and writer and missionary. He talked about three different marks of a crucified person. What are the three things a person on a cross, y'all need to take these, you know, listen to these and take notes, go to heaven. What are the three things a person on a cross has in common? They are only facing one direction. Come on. Number two, they can never turn back. Number one, they're facing in only one direction. They can never turn back, and they no longer have anything of their life of their own. What it really means to take up your cross, what does it really mean to take up your cross daily? If you're looking for a church and you're going to make your decision how good the facilities are, how good the children's pastor is, how good the preaching is, if the worship is any good, those are some things you can be looking for. But make your decision on this. Will this church help me to die to myself and truly live to Christ? Will they preach the gospel when the gospel is not popular? Come on, you can get all the fluff, you can get all the lights in the show and everything, but if you're not getting the truth preached to you, you're going to die. And it'll be on our hands too. Make your decision on this. I want to truly live for Jesus. Paul says in Galatians, I have been crucified in Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh. Come on, I've been living my own self. I've been carrying my own self around. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself to me. Think of it like this. If singleness seems like it's going to last forever, you don't lower your standards because you're facing one direction. When marriage is hard, you can never turn back. Because you've chosen to be faithful. When the budget gets tight, you continue to give and you continue to tithe because you know I have no plans of my own. Michael Culio says this: we think when we come to Jesus, we can still do our own will. When we are born again, we no longer are allowed to do us. Come on, when you've made that decision, I know this sounds hard. Man, there's freedom in obedience. There's freedom in letting God's will take over your will. And it doesn't sound like freedom. It sounds like, man, that's another chore. That's another thing I got to do. But until you want true freedom, when you give it over to Him and you're not worrying about everything that you used to worry about, because you know why? Because God's got this. It ain't nothing but a thing, what I'm going through right now. God's got this. Listen, over the last few weeks, I've had to tell the Lord, you got this. Even though there was times that I really was having a hard time believing it in my mind. You got this. I was telling somebody the other day, God's got you. Here's the thing. It's much easier to tell someone else God's got this. It's much easier to me coming to tell you, Trey, don't worry about this, don't worry about this. It's much easier to give advice. It's so much harder when you're going through hell and high water to believe what thus saith the Lord. So I'm going to ask us, whose report are you going to believe? You're going to believe the report of the world and the economy we're living in right now? Are you going to trust in God? Because He's higher. He's greater. He's more mighty than anything. Many of us, we want a Savior, but we don't want a Lord. And Jesus can't be one without the other. And I wrote this down. This was such a good quote. Jesus doesn't change your life. He replaces it with His. You are in Christ, Charles. We're in Christ. You're not. The new creation is you got Jesus inside of you. You are. He's there. So many times we just have to learn how to walk this thing out, knowing that He's with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. We are a new creation. You're no longer who you used to be. Come on, that is so hard for your mind to wrap around. You're no longer who you used to be. You are in Christ. Your position has changed when you accept Jesus. Let's all stand if we would, please. The cross is not something that Jesus just carried. It's something that every disciple of Jesus must learn how to carry. The question is not this. It's not whether you have a cross. The question is whether you will pick it up and carry it today. Every morning, God places the same choice as I said earlier to you. Will I live for myself today, or will I follow Jesus? I hope our answers will be, Lord, today I deny myself. If I have to deny myself 46 times today, then make me deny myself 46 times today. I deny myself. I'm going to take up my cross, whatever my cross is, and I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go where you tell me to go. This morning, if you've never made that choice to follow Jesus, the easiest part of it is coming to Him and say, Father, forgive me, for I've sinned. I want to become a new creation. I want to be made new. I'm sorry for my sins. And the Bible says if you do that with your heart, and you believe and you confess, you're saved. But sometimes we have to believe it in our hearts, and we have to confess it, and we have to believe it in our hearts. I'm saying that again. So many times I see people, you know, every time there's an altar call, they're raising their hands. We used to have refuge altar calls, and I mean, be the same kids every Saturday, every Sunday night raising their hands. And I'll be like, you raised your hands last week. Here's what we got to do. We got to accept what Jesus did for us. We have to carry it every single day. And we got to believe that He did it for us. Come on. That's the hardest part of about it is just to believe that He's done it. God, you don't know, Pastor Johnny, you don't know how bad I've been. God knows how bad you've been. You didn't catch Him by surprise. He's not up there scratching His bald head going, oh my gosh, start doing it again. He's up there saying, I love you. I forgive you. You're mine. Come on, I need all y'all to bow your heads this morning. Nobody looking around, please. How many are facing rejection right now because you just don't have the right mindset right now? Come on, lift your hands. This could be freeing. Oh, there's several hands. I want you to understand this altar is going to be open. And we encourage you, sometimes the walk up here is freeing. But there's also freedom in your hands that just went up. And so you can say, God, you see my heart. You see the things I've been going through. Lord, I'm trying. I'm really. And I think God sees your heart down deep inside and he wants to heal what's broken inside of you this morning. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, these hands that went up, I pray, Father, that they would start believing your word. They would start believing your report. They would start believing that who you say they are is not who they look in the mirror and see. They're a child of the Most High God. They're sitting with you in heavenly places. They're no longer the same. They're a new creation. Father, right now, I speak over minds right now who are, even right now, they're fighting against this. How can I be made new? You can be made new by just professing and confessing Jesus Christ this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Father, right now, help us all. There's going to be people on the left and the right up here to pray with you. These altars are open, but today, I ask us to take up our cross daily. And whatever that is for you, whatever it is you have to lay aside, whatever that is you have to sacrifice, just know, as I said earlier, there is a reward for obedience. There's a reward for doing what's right. You may not see it right now, but it's coming. It's coming. This morning, the altars are open. There'll be people to pray with you, but also just give it over to Jesus this morning.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.